So bless the Lord, I have been challenged today in a way that I never wanted to be challenged by my spouse, but I'm going to tell you, and I will reiterate, that God is not the author of evil. And this has been verified by St. Augustine, who says that God did not create evil. As a matter of fact, what he said was, humanity creates evil. Let me see. God, I'm going to have to look it up again. Back. It all refers, everyone keeps referring back to Isaiah 45, 1 through 7. The writer mentioned Cyrus as God's anointed, a term formerly reserved for Israelite rulers, a victor subduing nations with God's guiding. God called Cyrus by name, even though this king does not know who God is. So, I am not really sure. See, St. Augustine. And I'm stopping because I can. This is my podcast. St. Augustine on God and evil. It's devastating to me that I would be challenged by someone like my husband. St. Augustine, is God the author of evil or its helpless victim? St. Augustine's answer has been the most intellectually credible and emotionally satisfying solution to this vexing problem, says the author Kukul. And I'm going right into his writing. And I guess this would be a really deep subject. I don't really want to argue about it with anybody. I've never really been approached that strongly by anyone with any intellectual credibility. But it's a problem because God, being who he is, the author of good, cannot be the author of evil. So St. Augustine said, there are two aspects to the problem. The problem of evil can be phrased in several ways. One approach addresses the origin of evil, prompting the syllogism in a series of statements that form a reasoned argument. God created all things. Evil is a thing. And another passage in the Bible says that evil is nothing. God created all things. Evil is a thing. Therefore, God created evil. If the first two premises are true, the conclusion is inescapable. And I would go so far to say that evil is not a thing. I am going to say evil is nothing. No thing or nothing. But he says God created all things. Evil is a thing. Therefore, God created evil. If the first two premises are true, the conclusion is inescapable. If sustained, it's devastating for Christianity. God would not be good if he knowingly created evil. Augustine realized that the solution was tied to the question of what is evil. The argument above depends on the idea that evil is a thing. But what if evil is not a thing? Then evil did not need creating. If so, our research from the source of evil will take us to another direction. So Augustine approached the problem from a different angle. He asked, do we have any convincing evidence that a good God exists? If independent evidence leads us to conclude that God exists and is good, then he would be incapable of creating evil. Something else then must be the source. If Augustine's approach is fair, it prompts a pair of syllogisms that lead to a different conclusion. First, all things that God created are good. Evil is not good. Therefore, evil was not created by God. Second, God created everything. God did not create evil. Therefore, evil is not a thing. The key to success here is the truthfulness of the two premises. If Augustine can offer evidence through natural theology that God exists as creator and also that God is good, making everything he created also good, then the conclusion, evil is not a thing, automatically follows. That is Augustine's strategy. If evil is not a thing, then the case against Christianity stated in the original syllogism is unsound because one of its premises is false. The critical question is, what is evil? Central to Augustine's idea of goodness and consequently evil was the notion of being. To Augustine, anything that had being was good. God, as the ground of being, was perfectly good, along with everything he brought into being. This goodness was a property that came in varying degrees. With this foundation, Augustine was now prepared to answer the key issue. Where is evil then, and whence? How crept it in hither? What is its root, and what's its seed? Or hath it no being? To this, Augustine answered, evil has no positive nature, but the loss of good has received the name evil. Augustine observed that evil always injures, and such injury is a deprivation of good. If there were no deprivation, there would be no injury. Since all things were made with goodness, evil must be the privation of goodness. All good which is corrupted is deprived of good. All which is corrupted is deprived of good. The diminution of the property of goodness is what's called evil. Good has substantial being. Evil does not. It is like a moral hole, a nothingness that results when goodness is removed. Just as a shadow is no more than a hole in light, evil is a hole in goodness. To say that something is evil then is shorthand way of saying it either lacks goodness or is a lower order of goodness than what ought to have been. But the question remains, whence and how crept it in? Augustine observed that evil could not be chosen because there is no evil thing to choose. One can only turn away from good, that is a greater good, to a lesser good. In Augustine's hierarchy, since all things are good, but when the will abandons what is above itself and turns to what is lower, it becomes evil because that is evil to which it turns. But because the turning itself is wicked, evil then is the act itself of choosing the lesser good. To Augustine, the source of evil is the free will of persons. As I said, it's not God that creates evil, it's men. It's the free will of persons, humanity. And strain to perceive what I now heard, that free will was the cause of our doing it. Evil was a perversion of the will, turned aside from God to lesser things, as it was in the garden when it crept in, when God said, do not touch this tree. And somehow evil crept in, not being the good that God had instructed them to do and stay away from the tree. The evil crept in as a production of humanity's brain. They fell from the good to the nothingness of evil. All right, so God never gave creations the freedom to do bad. If a being is perfect in goodness, he held, it would never sin, even if it were free to. It would then have to create itself ex nihilo, which is ridiculous. However, it doesn't follow that moral perfection necessarily entails immutability. There's a different type of perfection, a perfection being, I can't even say, Schleiermacher's objection confuses the two. The fact that a perfectly beautiful vase is capable of being broken doesn't take away from its aesthetic perfections. In the same way, it makes sense to say that man was created morally perfect, morally whole or complete. at his proper level of goodness, even though he wasn't immutable in this perfection. The objections raised by atheist philosophers J.L. Mackey and Anthony Flew are more substantial. Isn't it possible that God could have created man immutable in his goodness, yet still have the opportunity to freely choose other areas? Won't man have immutable goodness in heaven? And will he not also have freedom to choose among certain options? Why not here on earth? Couldn't God construct man's nature such that evil simply was not an option? So, God could have created such a world. Freedom in the larger sense is the ability to make choices. Does not require freedom in the narrow sense, the ability to make moral choices. They missed the big picture, though. God would not have accomplished a second purpose. He not only wanted creatures, he also wanted plenitude. That is the greatest good possible. Plenitude, the highest good, the best of all possible worlds, requires more than just general freedom. It requires moral freedom, and that necessarily entails the possibility of evil. I don't agree. Since all that God made is good, even those things which appear evil only appear that way because of limited context or perspective. When viewed as a whole, that which appears to be evil ultimately contributes to the greater good. So I say, for example, certain virtues couldn't exist without evil. Courage, mercy, forgiveness, patience, the giving of comfort, heroism, perseverance, faithfulness, self-control, long-suffering. These are not virtues in the abstract, but elements of character that can only be had by moral souls. Just as evil is a result of acts of will, so is virtue. Acts of moral choice accomplish both. A world that had never been touched by evil would be a good place, but it wouldn't be the best place possible. The best of all worlds would be a place where evil facilitated the development of virtues that are not only able to exist where evil flourishes for a time. This would produce a world populated by souls that were refined by overcoming evil with good. The evil is momentary. The good results is eternal. What good comes out of a drive by killing someone, might ask, or the death of a teenager through overdose or whatever, rape, child abuse, and they go on. Though God is certainly capable of redeeming any tragedy, rather, the greater good results from having a world in which there is moral freedom, and moral freedom makes moral tragedies like these possible. But I say, and I continue to say, that evil is nothing. Godliness is probable for all things. That's what Timothy says. Hebrews 11:35 says, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11:35. Paul tells him that godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's Timothy 4:8. For bodily discipline is only a little profit, but godliness profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This is a little confusing, and I'm not equipped to explain it. Both of these verses indicate conditions in this life affect conditions in the next. Bearing up under evil in this life improves our resurrection in the next. Godliness in this life brings profit in the next. These benefits are not available after this life, nor would there be little urgency to grow now. All eternity would be left to catch up. So, In the end, Augustine knew that evil was real. Independent evidence, natural theology, was enough to convince him that God existed, that everything he created would be good. Evil, then, must be something real, but not a thing. And that's my belief. evil, I'm going to say it again, Augustine knew that evil was real. Independent evidence, natural theology was enough to convince him that God existed, that everything he created, everything God created was good. Evil then must be something real, but not a thing. So evil is not a thing, and God created all things. Therefore, since evil is not a thing, it is not a thing or nothing. It's not created. So God didn't create evil. It's not something that God created. Amen? So let's leave it there. God created a world of free will. Goodness is the answer to plenitude, and which is the greatest good. God made a world in which true moral decision making and developments of virtues is possible to humans, and humans have a choice to choose this great good, to grow through struggle. And even though God may allow it, he didn't create it. It is something that man has fallen into, to the lowest depths of something, into nothing. That's where Satan lives. That's where he dwells. He's in the abyss of nothingness, the lowest possible fall from heaven to the abyss of nothingness. And when we say banish evil from our beings and all the adversaries and the demonic pursuits that we struggle with in the spiritual world, we say we want to cast them into the abyss of nothingness, scatter them like dry leaves in the wind, to the abyss of nothingness. And that's where I cast this thought that came from my spouse today. I cast into the abyss of nothingness, the Antichrist. I'm labeling him as that. He knows I'm a preacher, so why would he bring it up to me? I'm not saying anything. I'm saying I'm objecting to him having free will. That's his free will to think that way. Don't bring it up to me if you know I'm a minister. I'm casting it back where it came from, you Antichrist. And we know that exists, the Antichrist exists, but I don't want to be in my face telling me that God created evil when I know it's nothing. God only created good. It's humanity who brings up this evil and brings it into being. It's not something that God wanted to happen. He did not create it. God is good. And I say again, God is good. And we say, not just at this time, but all the time, from day one till now, at the outset, God is good, and he shall be good from now to all eternity. Amen. Follow me if you like. Amen.